Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 30th, 2025. We'll start today's reading on the front page with State House. Racino Bill clears starting gate. Industry rival could stall effort to bring horse track to Decatur. This is from Springfield. Legislation that could authorize a racetrack and casino in Decatur has cleared the starting gate, but continued opposition from a key player in the gaming industry could keep it from reaching the finish line before lawmakers wrap up their spring legislation session later this week. Senate Bill 1473, sponsored by State Senator Patrick Joyce, Democrat of Essex, passed unanimously out of the Senate Executive Committee on Wednesday. However, some members would not commit to supporting the legislation on the floor amid a dispute between the bill's proponents and Hawthorne Racecourse in suburban Chicago. The friction could effectively punt the issue to later this year, a delay that could push back a privately funded $150 million project in Decatur that proponents say is shovel-ready. And it could further imperil the state's horse racing industry, which has taken a beating in recent years due to factors that included competition from neighboring states and closure of marquee racetracks like Arlington Park. "We're running out of time," Joyce said. "There's a lot of people depending on this legislation and trying to make career decisions. The legislation would direct the Illinois Racing Board to award a horse racing license to a track in Macon County. This would clear the path for Virginia-based Revolutionary Racing to develop a 200-acre parcel at the northwest corner of U.S. 36 and Weichels Road into a 1 million or a 1 mile harness racetrack that would include a casino with 900 gaming positions. The bill would also increase the amount of off-track betting locations that are permitted to FanDuel Sportsbook and Horse Racing in Collinsville, previously known as Fairmount Park, from 9 to 18. It would also profit a racetrack from operating within 100 miles, prohibit a racetrack from operating within 100 miles of their facility. Included in an amendment to the legislation earlier this month, these provisions removed opposition from the track's owners, Excel Entertainment. But the bill also adds a sunset clause to a provision in the state's massive 2019 gaming expansion that allowed Hawthorne to veto any proposed project within 35 miles of its existing track in Stickney. The 2019 law, which also authorized six additional brick-and-mortar casinos, legalized sports betting and expanded video gaming, allowed racetracks to operate slots and table games at facilities known as racinos. It also added a new racing license for South Suburban Cook County. Since the new license falls within the 35-mile radius of Hawthorne, the track has essentially had the exclusive right to develop a new harness racetrack in suburban Chicago. But 6 years later, their efforts have not borne fruit. Hawthorne has yet to break ground on a racino at its existing site, nor has its ownership made progress on a second racing location. With Arlington Park's closure in 2021, the only racino to this point that has opened in Illinois is at Collinsville Track. The shot clock is ticking. Under the proposed legislation, Hawthorne would lose what has effectively been a monopoly on racing in the south suburbs at the end of this year. After that time, the racing license would be open to anyone. The Illinois Harness Horsemen's Association, one of the major backers of the bill being considered, says that Hawthorne has had long enough. "I want to be really clear. What this bill does not take away Hawthorne's ability to open a casino at their own location or in the southwest suburbs," said Jeff Davis, president of the association. "All it does is it removes the guarantee that they get to do the southwest suburbs. The shot clock is ticking and it's time for action," Davis said. Hawthorne is the only racetrack in the state that still has dates for harness racing, but the events are often regulated to less than appealing slots than those of thoroughbreds. This has effectively put the state's harness racing industry at the mercy of the more than century-old family-owned racetrack. The track has strong allies in the legislature. Previous efforts to remove its veto power have been thwarted, but the longer they take, the more patience is wearing thin. How long should we give you? 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? Asked Senate President Don Harmon, Democrat of Oak Park. Jim Stumpf, a lobbyist for Hawthorne, acknowledged that the track has had difficulties in arranging financing for Racino at its existing track and a new one in Cook County, but he added that they intend to continue to pursue the South Suburban track and casino. We appreciate the perseverance that you've given us so far, Stumpf said. We continue to try to get this thing operating to provide benefits to the horsemen, to the track, and also to the state of Illinois. We regret that we've not been able to move quicker. I think perhaps the perseverance is wearing out, Harmon responded. Still, some lawmakers indicated that amid the dispute, they would not support the legislation as is if it came through the Senate floor for a vote. I love the sponsor, but I don't love the bill, said State Senator Dave Kohler, Democrat of Peoria, who asked Joyce to continue to work with the opposition and to come to a resolution. Joyce, not explicitly committing to hold the bill, suggested that the next move would be steered by continued conversations over the next couple of days. Stumpf said that Hawthorne is not opposed to a new track and casino in Decatur, but he said that along with the removal of the 35-mile veto, they took issue with the inclusion of a 100-mile exclusion zone for the Collinsville track and the potential for competition from off-track betting organizations affiliated with the new Decatur track. What we think we need to do is, instead of rushing to eliminate this 35-mile area for Hawthorne, is we need to have something of reciprocal value, consideration and discussions with Hawthorne and the horsemen and the proponents of the bill, Stumpf said. A trailblazing win. Proponents, including Revolutionary Racing and the Illinois Harness Horsemen's Association, been pushing the legislation hard. The Decatur Project also has the support of a collection of trade unions, including the AFL-CIO, the Decatur Building and Construction Trades Council, and the Central Illinois Buildings and Construction Trades Council. A project labor agreement has already been signed, according to officials. Nicole Bateman, the president and CEO of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County, testified in support of the bill on Wednesday, saying it was an opportunity for region to become a tourism destination to diversify beyond its manufacturing roots. It is not often in my world that an economic development project as robust as this one chooses Central Illinois, Bateman said. This can be a trailblazing win for the entire state. Officials say that the project could attract 1,000 additional visitors to Macon County per day, create 300 permanent jobs, and generate as much as $27 million in state and local taxes. In addition to the racetrack, with a grandstand and a casino, the project could include a sports complex, hotels, restaurants, and a training center. Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf sent Governor J.B. Pritzker a letter earlier this month urging him to support the legislation. I don't have a position on the bill that's being debated, Pritzker told reporters on Wednesday, though adding that his administration had been working very hard to bring jobs to Decatur. Officials with Revolutionary Racing, which opened a $75 million gambling facility and racetrack in Kentucky in 2023, did not testify Wednesday. Devastating to the community. Beyond Hawthorne, the bill is opposed by the owners of the Golden Nugget in Danville and the Paradise Hotel and Casino in East Peoria. The concern is that a Decatur gaming den could draw customers away. It is also opposed by video gambling or gaming operators, along with businesses that rely upon them for revenue. As of April, Decatur has about 482 VGTs in operation across 82 businesses. Carl Munch, who owns Lulu's Pizza in Decatur, told lawmakers that a Racino presents short-term benefits for those working on the project, but the long-term effects will be devastating to the community. Bars, restaurants, veterans organizations, and convenience stores all rely on income for video gaming, Munch said. Reduced revenue for these small businesses and organizations will make it difficult for these small businesses to survive and will likely close businesses. Though it's been said before, many have characterized the legislation as the last gasp for the racing industry in the state. The state's horse racing handle slid from $514 million in 2022 to $490 million in 2023 to $478 million in 2024, the lowest in 40 years, according to the data from the Illinois Racing Board. And the number of foals being bred in Illinois has declined precipitously over the past few decades. The 2019 legislation authorizing racinos at existing tracks was meant to help rejuvenate the industry by bringing in new customers and generating revenue that would be used for higher purses. But whether new racinos will help revive the declining racing industry remains unclear, according to the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability Analysis. The opening of racinos in Indiana and Ohio in the past decade have not stopped racing handles from continuing to decline. Between 2011 and the last year Ohio did not have racinos, and 2023, the horse racing handle in the Buckeye State declined 59% from $234 million to $96 million, according to COGFA's report. The legislation is now before the full Senate. Lawmakers are scheduled to adjourn their spring session on Saturday. And there's a couple of photographs here on page A5. One shows Carl Munch, owner of Lulu's Pizza, speaking against the racino in Senate Bill 1473 during the Senate Executive Committee hearing in Springfield on Wednesday, May 28th. And then another photo shows Nicole Bateman, president and CEO of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County, testifying in support of a racino in Senate Bill 1473 during the Senate Executive Committee hearing in Springfield on Wednesday, May 28th. And the main story on the front page is from Illinois History, a fitting legacy for the reader. State Library's Reading Room tribute to former Governor Jim Edgar. Jim Edgar was an ardent supporter of libraries and literacy during his tenure in state government, so much so that his staff affectionately referred to him as the reader. That support as both Secretary of State and Governor was celebrated Wednesday with a ceremony to dedicate the Illinois State Library's Reading Room in his name. I think it's one of the most beautiful buildings of government in the state of Illinois, Edgar said during the ceremony. Make use of this beautiful building, he said. A Charleston native and Eastern Illinois University graduate, Edgar served two terms as a Republican representative in the Illinois House before becoming a Secretary of State in 1981. Among his achievements in that office was overseeing construction of the Illinois State Library building that was dedicated in June 1990. In 1991, he was elected to the state as the state's 38th governor, a position he held until 1999. After leaving office, he served as a distinguished fellow at both the University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs and the Harvard Kennedy School Institute of Politics. He established the Edgar Speaker Series that brings state government experts to Eastern, his alma mater, and the Edgar Fellow Program at the University of Illinois, which provides training and networking opportunities to emerging leaders. Edgar has also remained active as an advisor and mentor to many of in Illinois political circles, including several of the speakers at Wednesday's event. He publicly revealed in February that he has been battling pancreatic cancer. Throughout his many years of public service, Governor Edgar was a champion of Illinois' library system and literacy programs, and he took immense pride in our state's rich literacy heritage, said U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski, Democrat of Springfield. I can't think of a better way to celebrate his legacy than by dedicating a reading room in the library that he helped build. The reading room houses a collection of works by notable Illinois authors, many of them first editions. The space is used for public meetings hosted by nonprofits and government entities and is also open to the public. Among the collection are books by former President Barack Obama and The Wizard of Oz series by L. Frank Baum. His true passion is why we're all here today, Secretary of State Alexei Janulius said. He was a champion and an advocate of all our libraries being represented, recognizing the fundamental role they play every day in educating our youth and inspiring them to achieve every dream they could imagine. As Secretary of State, Edgar launched several initiatives to support literacy, including the Read Illinois program in 1981, which promoted the work of Illinois authors through reading lists, author conferences, and a literary map highlighting authors' hometowns. Writers such as Ernest Hemingway, Upton Sinclair, and Edna Ferber were featured as part of the initiative. He also spearheaded the creation of Illinet Online, a circulation system that by the mid-1980s allowed Illinois residents to search and borrow more than 18 million books, periodicals, videos, and films from libraries across the state. In 1984, Edgar directed the state library to begin offering grants to support local literacy programs. The following year, the General Assembly approved $2 million to fund the effort, helping position Illinois as a national leader in combating adult illiteracy. We could fill an entire section of this library with ways that he, Edgar, has improved the state of Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker said during the ceremony. You can talk about his leadership during times of crisis and hardship, or the number of jobs he created while he was in office. The record really is endless, Pritzker said. Pritzker went on to share an anecdote that he said summarized Edgar's most enduring contribution. When Edgar was first elected as Secretary of State, he broke with tradition and kept many of the employees who had been hired by his Democratic predecessor. To his Republican colleagues who expressed surprise or consternation about the decision, Edgar reportedly responded, "To me, the best politics is good government. If you do your job well, then that's going to reflect well on me, and that's the best politics there is. Good government is good politics, and good politics is good government," Pritzker said. You don't really hear that enough anymore, do you? But that view, that honest loyalty to the people of Illinois, is what makes Jim Edgar an icon, no matter what party you belong to. And here's a little, some facts about Jim Edgar. He was born on July 22, 1946, in Vinita, Oklahoma. His education was at Charleston High School, where he graduated in 1964, and Eastern Illinois University, graduating in 1968. His elected offices were the Illinois House of Representatives from 1976 to 1979, the Illinois Secretary of State from 1981 to 1991, and Illinois Governor from 1991 to 1999. His wife is Brenda Smith Edgar, and children are Brad and Elizabeth Edgar. And the large photo on the front page shows former governor, Illinois Governor Jim Edgar, receiving congratulations after the dedication ceremony for the Jim Edgar Reading Room at the Illinois State Library in Springfield on Wednesday, May 28th. And the room is packed with people. In the center of the photo, we see a very smiling former governor Jim Edgar talking to another gentleman, and in the background there's a portrait of Jim Edgar. Also on the front page, Coles County rally backs senior services. This is from Charleston. Staff at the Coles County Council on Aging's Lifespan Center provided Medicare enrollment counseling, state and local benefit application assistance, and other senior information services to 1,858 clients last year. Those services, which totaled 4,140 individual appointments with local clients in need, were made possible with the assistance of annual funding from the U.S. Older Americans Act. Consequently, the Illinois Association of Area Agencies on Aging selected the Lifespan Center as one of several locations statewide for the Day of Advocacy rallies it held Wednesday in the region in support of Congress fully funding this act amid federal budget cutting and restructuring. "I made a point of saying the Lifespan Center is a beacon," said East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging Executive Director Susan Real after the rally. "They are a hub for providing Older Americans Act services." The Illinois Association reported that while the Act is currently funded through September, its reauthorization is due and proposed changes could threaten both the scope and stability of the law it serves as the backbone of America's aging network. Without continued federal investment, the Illinois Association contends that critical services will be reduced or eliminated, and this will lead to severe consequences for older adults and for caregivers. Real said that 478,000 Illinois residents use Older American Act-funded services last year. She said these services average approximately 183,000 home-delivered meals, 154,000 congregate dining center meals, 30,000 senior information service appointments, 15,000 rides, and 5,000 health screening and education appointments per year. Enacted in 1965, the Act is designed to help senior citizens stay in their homes longer and out of nursing homes. Real said the loss of funding would cause other costs to rise as seniors' health declines and their needs for nursing homes increases, she said. "The Older Americans Act has always enjoyed bipartisan support, and we're certain we can continue with this bipartisan support," Real said, of the ongoing advocacy effort during the Act's 60th anniversary. Wednesday's rally at the Lifespan Center took place in the facility's banquet room. Coles County Council on Aging Executive Director Kim Edwards said afterwards that an average of 20 diners per weekday partake in hot meals there, provided by the Piecemeal Senior Nutrition Program, administered locally by Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center. Edwards said demand for the meals at the Lifespan Center, senior support services, caregiver advisory services, and other Council on Aging programs has steadily increased in recent years as the baby boomer generation has grown older. "A reduction in federal funding would significantly impact our ability to provide those services to the community," Edwards said. Real said Peel Meal has remained funded, but its recent shift to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families, following the dissolution of the Administration for Community Living, has created some uncertainty. Barbara Wiley, director of the SBL Piecemeal, said that after the rally that this program served approximately 226,000 delivery and congregate dining center meals last year in Coles and the surrounding six counties. Sarah Bush, Lincoln, and Piecemeal are committed to serving senior nutrition needs in our seven-county region, Wiley said, adding that he supports community members advocating for services for senior citizens. And on this picture on page 2 shows East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging Executive Director Susan Real in the foreground, leading a rally for full funding of the Older Americans Act on Wednesday afternoon at the Lifespan Center in Charleston, with the help of her executive assistant, Naya Creer. And she's standing at a table with lots of pamphlets and information. In the background is her assistant, Ms. Creer. And there's a screen in the background with information on it. On page 2, family-friendly tunes play June 16th at Park. The Decatur Municipal Band is hosting a special family concert on Monday, June 16th, in downtown Decatur Central Park. The festivities will begin at 6 p.m. with the free concert starting at 7 p.m. Music from popular Disney films and television shows will be the featured program. Zach Garrett will be the vocal soloist, with Jim Culbertson as the band's director. Activities for the young crowd include the Decatur Public Library, Read-alicious, a program with a series of stories read and acted out. Afterwards, Iris Leahy, Muni band member and Decatur Public Schools music teacher, will conduct a sing-along of well-known children's songs. Shortly before the concert, a costume contest with prizes in the categories of royalty, hero, and most creative will take stage. During the concert, a parade of costumes, character actors, a photo booth, Disney trivia, and face painting will also be taking place. Food will be available for purchase from Mimi's Frosty, Highway Heartburn, and 343 BBQ. A grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Illinois Arts Council Agency, and the Decatur Area Arts Council is sponsoring the event. The municipal band will begin its 168th season at 6 p.m. Sunday, June 1st, with a performance in Fairview Park, followed by a 7 p.m. Monday, June 2nd performance in Central Park. The band will perform each Sunday and Monday at the same time and locations through August 11th. The band will perform at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater on June 25th and August 13th. For more information, visit decaturmuni.band or Facebook page. That's decaturmuni, M-U-N-I, .band, or the Facebook page. Toddler unlocked door in drowning. Oriana, a 3-year-old boy, drowned Saturday after he unlocked a sliding door and made his way to the pool at an Oriana home. Macon County Coroner Michael Burkham identified the boy as Kason Clifton of Decatur. According to Macon County Sheriff's Office news release, Kason was at home with other siblings under the care of an aunt. His mother had left the residence for approximately 15 minutes to run errands. The aunt and siblings were unaware that the child had exited the residence, the release said. When the mother arrived back at the residence and noticed the back door was open, a quick search of the backyard discovered that the child had fallen and entered the pool. The release said a 911 was called immediately, 911, and the Argenta Oriana Fire Department and county deputies responded. Life-saving measures were attempted before the child was transported to Decatur Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased. The Macon County Sheriff's Office has concluded their investigation and no criminal charges will be pursued, the release said. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 30th, 2025. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.